The biggest cybersecurity threat you never thought that much about is the factory. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. A report last week from Bloomberg Businessweek suggested that Chinese spies had embedded tiny little microchips on motherboards that control computers in order to steal information from nearly 30 U.S. companies, including Apple and Amazon. Both of those companies, plus Supermicro, the electronics maker that was allegedly infiltrated, and the Chinese government, have all categorically denied the report. But this story lingers, in part because it brings up a very scary reality that cybersecurity experts keep talking about. Bruce Schneier is one of those experts. He says in our global economy, the most dangerous link in the chain is the manufacturing floor.
That is the problem, that these things could happen and we have no assurance that they don't or even know what to do if they did.
Right. And you've written about how, you know, true or not true, this points to a very real security vulnerability in the supply chain for the electronics that we use all the time, right?
And we saw this earlier this year with Kaspersky, right? Can we trust an antivirus program made in Russia? Can we trust handsets and networking equipments from Chinese companies? And this is the tip of a much bigger problem. Because here in this Bloomberg story, it's not necessarily the company that makes the hardware, it's the country where it was fabricated. But you also have to be concerned about where the software is made, where the chips are made. You know, I have an iPhone. That's not made in the United States. Its programmers carry a couple of hundred different passports. And anybody in that process can subvert it. And that's the lesson of this Bloomberg Chinese chip story. We have to trust everybody, yet we can't trust anybody. And solving it is actually insurmountably hard.
Right. Yeah, that's what I wondered. I mean, even if we wanted to create a supply chain for both the hardware and the software, it sounds like you're saying, that entirely relied on U.S. manufacturing and companies, would that even be possible?
It probably would be possible. You might have to pay 20 times the price for your iPhone, which means you're not going to. Mm-hmm. This is global. There's no way to make a country only anything. So largely, we ignore the problem.
Right. What, if anything, does that mean for consumers? Should we even worry that we individually are being spied on at all?
You know, for consumers, this is largely above our pay grade. Right? This is nation to nation stuff. If you are an activist working against the interests of the government of China, you might have to worry about it. But for the rest of us, you know, the worry is in our power plants, in our infrastructure. Now, I only hope that we are so embedded in their systems, just as they are in ours, that if something happens, nothing works, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, the offense is so dominant here.
Bruce Schneier is a cybersecurity expert and author of the book Click Here to Kill Everybody, Security and Survival in a Hyper-Connected World. This question of supply chain security is partly why lawmakers recently said the U.S. government can't use devices that are made by the Chinese companies Huawei or ZTE. And now for some related links. On the security front, I am still pretty flabbergasted by the Wall Street Journal story yesterday that said the zombie social network Google Plus, you know, not quite dead but still walking, had a bug that could have let outside developers get profile information on hundreds of thousands of people. But Google and parent company Alphabet decided not to disclose that information because it was around the time of the Cambridge Analytica and Facebook scandal, and the company worried that it would draw more attention and possible regulation. Yes, as history has taught us often and profoundly, a cover-up has always been the best idea in cases like these. Since the news broke, Google has announced it will double tap Google Plus, like we all learned in Zombieland, the only way to deal with the Walking Dead. And as you might imagine, Tech Twitter has a lot of thoughts on Facebook's portal devices, video-enabled gadgets that'll let you chat with your Facebook and Messenger buddies. The first line in a USA Today story about the new gadgets? Hell no. I chatted with Kai Rizdal about the portal announcements on Marketplace yesterday afternoon. Check out the podcast for more. But in passing, I will only note that there is no creepier name for a device with a camera that can swivel around to follow you almost anywhere and that is connected all the time to a giant personal information sarlacc pit Look it up and you'll see what I mean. It never stops wanting more data about you than Portal. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Susan in Alta, California, wrote to tell us she believes Marketplace is an important source of business news and that she trusts our hosts and reporters to be clear and objective. She's also a Marketplace investor. To join her in keeping public service journalism strong, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Susan and everyone who makes our work possible.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.